Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and a very warm welcome to the Titan Company Limited Q2 FY19 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note, any recording or reproduction of this call is strictly prohibited. I'm now glad to hand the conference over to Mr. Bhaskar Bhatt, Managing Director of Titan Company Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good evening to everyone. First of all, a belated Happy Diwali to all of you. Thank you for being on the call. Before I start the formal proceedings of the Q2, I'd like to share something with you. The company, a couple of months back, launched a very unique initiative. In fact, it was launched jointly by a business associate of ours from Visakhapatnam, Mr. Rana Uppal Patti, whose family has been associated with us for over 25 years. A very unique young man who has offered to skate across the Golden Quadrilateral, starting 2 months back for a cause. He's skating 6,000 kilometers every day, 75-100 kilometers, and promoting the cause of the girl child in India, the exploited girl child in India. He's now covered about 3,600 kilometers, having crossed Karnataka, Maharashtra, Gujarat, Madhya Pradesh, having gone to Delhi, and now is in West Bengal. He will then come down to Visakhapatnam and so on and end up again in Bangalore. On the way, he is promoting the cause along with Titan for the girl child. It's called Echo. I'd like to earnestly request you, all of you, to engage with this program in whichever manner you think you ought to. There's a small audio.
Hi. I have some good news to share with you since you have stayed invested in Titan for a very long time. It is about the program Echo, the program in which we have taken on to support 25,000 underprivileged girl children across the country. The program in which Rana Uppal Patti, one of our business associates, is skating across the country 6,000 kilometers in all. He completed 2,500 kilometers today. Along the way, he's gathered many fans, including Milind Soman, and as of yesterday, he met up with the Vice President of the nation, Mr. Venkaiah Naidu. What I would beseech you and all employees here are expecting from you is the support for 50 children or more in multiples of 50 for the Echo program. For details of how you can do that, you can get in touch with us or with my office, and we'll be happy to share that information with you. It is on our website as well, but 50 or multiples of 50 in the Echo program is what everyone at Titan is expecting from you. Thank you for your patience.
Thank you for your patience. That was recorded some time back, that 2,500 kilometers has now gone to 3,700 kilometers. Let me get on with the performance. We've had a very good quarter. Exceptional retail sales growth during the quarter. We have actually achieved targets in every business. We continue to grow. Revenue's grown 26%, but EBIT only by 4%. We will talk about that in a couple of minutes. watch business is continuing its excellent run at 18.7% PBT margin. It's the highest recorded up to now. Jewelry division has come out very strong in growth terms on top line at 29%, but growth in profits has been muted, and I'll talk about it in a minute. Eyewear business, the change in strategy is working. We have redefined our price-value equation, and that's bringing in volumes faster than value, but it's good for the business, and it's eyeing a 10 million per year as it eyes a 10 million per year customer base. As a part of our treasury operations, we had invested 145 crores in IL and FS group in May and June, the intercorporate deposits. And based on the current assessment of ILFS's ability to pay, we've had to provide 20% of that, which is 29 crores, as a matter of as a measure of abundant caution. Specifically about the jewelry business, gross margin was lower than the previous year as plain jewelry segment grew much faster than the studded jewelry segment. Also, the division has taken over two large and profitable franchise stores in Hyderabad through a win-win. Basically, it is better for us to take over a franchise of this size and investment, where we can bring in more and more investment when needed. Sometimes franchisees get limited in their approach, both financially as well as on manpower. In this case, we provided 15 crores, recognized 15 crores as the franchisee compensation, and it includes the assets that we buy from him and so on. The second is advertising spend has been much higher, and that, of course, has gone into brand building and has paid off, but it is significantly higher during the quarter. There's also an effect of inventory valuation because of the timing difference in the manner in which we value inventory, which we will explain in greater detail, and almost all of it or all of it has already been secured in October. So those are really the high points. The addition of stores we've covered, 40, and I'll stop here. It's been a good quarter according to us. As I said, we should get to the Q&A straight away. Happy to answer your questions. With me are CFO Subbu, Venkat, CEO Jewelry, Ravi, CEO Watches and Accessories, Ronnie, CEO Eyewear, and Ajoy, who's Chief of Strategy, as well as Business Incubation, and who heads Tanera and Skin as well, and a few other colleagues of mine from Finance.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the attached tone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to limit their questions to two per participant. Time permitting, you may come back in the queue for a follow-up. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Abneesh Roy from Edelweiss. Please go ahead.
Sir, congrats on very good sales growth. My first question is on the two acquisition of the assets of the franchisee. Any more plans, sir, in the medium term?
Abneesh, hi. No, nothing. Nothing at the moment. These kind of events come once in a while, and therefore it is not, nothing is planned in the immediate future.
So you said these are very large stores. You must be having large stores in the franchisee in other locations. So why can't it happen there?
there are special circumstances which warranted this to happen. Otherwise, when there is a win-win situation with the franchisees running it, we let it run. In this case, the win-win was our taking over, and therefore we took over.
And these two franchisees leave the business or they'll be still involved?
No, they left the business. They will. One franchisee owning
single franchisee owning two stores.
And sir, well, you said more investment. So once the store is set up, then what are the investments? I couldn't understand that part.
No. It's like this. What I meant was the price we are paying is for whatever he has invested and more. But when you grow, when you have to renovate a store, for example, you need to bring in fresh capital. And renovation today is happening, what, 5 years?
Seven years.
So those are also quite significant. When you're running two stores, it's not small. So and there are other reasons, but once in a while we do give credits to some of these. This is L2, right? And we do find that sometimes inability to pay. All these are defaults. Of course, they are never write-offs. But overall, he has lived his life in a way. He spent 20 years with us, I think. And anything else?
So my second question is on the Island FS. So you have said abundant caution. Now you have provided only 20%. Do you really feel that you will get back the balance 80% based on current understanding, or Q3 could see a much bigger write-off the way current things are? Because I think this will take a lot of time and abundant caution, I couldn't understand that part.
Okay, Abnisha, the 20% was made, obviously, as you know, for September end. We are still waiting information. 31st October, whatever report they have given to NCLT is still pretty vague in the sense that they have basically said what they are planning to do, which is either sell it off, divide the assets, sell, and so on and so forth. There is also a talk of equity infusion into the company and so on. So at this point in time, I don't think any of us are clear as to what is happening. They have also sought for more time. So you are right, we may possibly have more information over the next 3 to 6 months. So we need to possibly wait. I can't say anything more than this as to how much we will actually recover and when we will recover.
And so one last one, could you comment on the gross margins of eyewear? I remember in the analyst meet you had said the launch of the affordable eyewear will not lead to significant impact on margins. I understand a lot of the higher cost is because of ad spend, but we don't have any clarity what is the gross margins now versus earlier.
Yeah, the margins, the margins have in fact improved over last year, so by about 1 or 2 basis points. But and that is basically because we didn't lower our prices actually. We just introduced a whole lot of new products at lower price points. Where we managed, our buying was good. We started frame manufacturing also. So all these things are kicking in now, and our margins are better, especially in sunglasses, where we had taken a price increase because of increased duty. So even that is beginning to kick in. So the margins have been better as compared to last year. In terms of costs being higher, yes, advertising costs have been slightly higher, and therefore, the lower margin overall.
But when do you see ad spend?
Abnish, I'm sorry to interrupt. Maybe request you to come back in queue for any follow-up questions. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Avi Mehta from India Infoline. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Sir, I just wanted to understand the jewelry sales growth a bit. You know, you have seen second quarter a healthy 29% growth, 18% adjusted for that GST impact. Do you still retain your guidance for about a 29-30% growth in the second half?
Hi, Avi. The season, the Diwali, Dashara Diwali season performance has been very, very encouraging. We are in the 25% plus growth rate in this 30-day period. And we are quite positive that the sentiment is good, particularly in our kind of segment. And all our actions are driving, that sentiment positively. And the migration that has been happening and continuing to happen will keep that kind of a momentum for the certainly the balance of the third quarter. And we will reassess at the by end December on the fourth quarter.
Okay, so you're saying that for at least for the third quarter you'll retain that guidance? That's how I should read it. Okay, so the second bit was on the margin front on the jewelry side. Now, while I understand, you know, you did highlight some one-offs over here, you know, the franchise a bit, I'm not very clear what exactly happened there, but, you know, there is that one-off, plus there is the one-off, which is the inventory write-off. But all of a sudden, even if I make these adjustments, you're still at about 11.5, and I recollect at the start of the year, you had said that we would probably, you know, see flattish YOY. Do you still believe in that guidance or maintain that guidance, or do you see there is a downside risk given, you know, the sales growth guidance also has undergone some change since we discussed?
Just to refresh on that conference point,
yeah,
I was asked if there was any potential for margin expansion because of the high sales growth.
Correct.
And I said, no, we're going to be investing and we want to maintain margin.
Okay.
And if expansion happens, well and good, but our focus is on sales growth by investing and maintaining margin.
Correct.
Correct. Now, on H1, we have actually delivered on target EBIT as well as marginally improved the EBIT margin by 20 bps, despite being lower than plan on sales growth. And despite the 18 crore, which the FIFA loss coming back to us in Q3. So therefore, the view on the margin maintenance for the year continues to hold.
And so this is, sorry, just a clarification. You said you have improved by 20 bps. This is, how are you making
this? H1. No, this is in comparison to our internal plan.
Internal.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Arnab Mitra from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. On the watch business, you've had this 18 to 19% margin in the first half this year, which is exceptionally strong. You've normally been in the high single digit to mid-teens. So should one see this as a new normal now that you've done it for two consecutive quarters, or how should we look at the full year trend here? And any headwinds you see in the second half on the margin front in watches?
This is not the new normal, but I would say that it is pretty close to the new normal, which is somewhere in the, by the time we end the year, it may be close to about 15-16%. The reason for the margin being very high in this quarter is that two of our, you know, major collections that we were launching, which were supposed to be backed by advertising and heavy spends and very, very impactful campaigns, have got pushed from this quarter to the coming quarter. So the ad spends in this quarter, Q3, will be very high. And so, you know, a lot of these things are based on what happens in each quarter. Sometimes activation happens and therefore the payout differentials are. We've said in the past that it's best to look at margins by the time we close the year. So in short, it would be about 15 to 16%, I think, by the end of the year.
Sure, thanks. That's helpful. Secondly, just on this franchisee compensation, sorry to again ask this question, but is it purely a one-off in nature, or are there some operating costs here which anyways would have been there had you run these stores on your own in the quarter?
Actually, this is one single franchisee who is running two stores in Hyderabad, of the two large stores in Hyderabad, contributing to nearly 250 crores of sale. And because of the circumstances in this situation, we decided that it would be in the interest of the company to take these over and maximize the sales and margin opportunity over the next 5-10 years. So this 15 crore is paid for that opportunity. It's one time.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vivek Maheshwari from CLSA. Please go ahead.
See, first on the 25% guidance for rest of the year. So if this quarter is 29% and third quarter has started on a positive note, Venkat, is there any specific reason that, you know, you are not sticking with 25% for the fourth quarter also? Is there any uncertainty compared to, let's say, after the first quarter ended or before the first quarter, which is, you know, making you worried?
No, actually, the growth in Q2 was 38%. In the 40 days nearly after that, it's about 29%. Okay. And therefore, we are quite confident about Q3. Now, these are dynamic things. And as we come closer to the end of Q3, we'll be in a better position to reconfirm. I'm not worried at the moment, but these things, you know, have a, suddenly some things can change also. It's a little unpredictable. Gold rate can go up and suddenly put a dampener on the demand and all that. That's the only aspect of it. I said, we'll reconfirm closer to end of Q3 rather than say outright now.
Also, Q3 has a large wedding dates, no? Large number of weddings.
Yeah.
Therefore, plain gold jewelry is also likely to be higher. Sale will be higher, but Q4 is not likely.
Okay, sure. And couple of, you know, small questions. One is this unallocable amount of 40 crores in the segmental. Does that reflect that ILFS one-off?
Yeah, that includes that, yes.
So, Subbu, in the main P&L, where is it getting reported?
It's in the other expenses.
So, that is what is also impacting EBITDA.
That is right.
Okay. Got it. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nilesha from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Venkat, this number that you have alluded to for 3Q very specifically, does that include the L3 sales which were not captured in 2Q? Basically, the gap between the 29% and 38% for the jewelry business.
The 29% I spoke for 3Q is the retail sales growth.
No, I'm talking about, so 29% is the retail sales.
I'm just clarifying to your question.
Yeah.
The 29% is 3Q 40-day growth.
Yeah.
There was a difference in the growth rate of primary in 2Q and the retail in 2Q because of the base effect of 2Q FY18.
Correct.
In some sense, we will see a reversal of that in 3Q because the franchisees will buy more than we said. So,
correct. So this 29% doesn't include that 9% gap, which is there.
It does not include that gap.
Okay, so the reported numbers will be higher. Just one question on that 29% versus 38%. It comes up to about 260, 270 crore rupees. That's a very, very high number. I'm assuming this is only Dashera sales which were deferred, right?
No, if it is 29%, the primary is 29% in Q2.
Correct.
Okay, and 38% is the retail sales.
Correct.
Okay, so that 9%.
But those are on different bases. The base for primary is different, the base for retail is different.
And also the L3s are only 30%.
You can tell me what exactly you're trying to conclude, I can help.
No, just that, a gap of 200 plus crores, 250 plus crores, which is the gap. I agree there will be slightly different bases.
Meaning may come back in Q3 on top of retail?
Yes.
That's what I said.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't mention the figure, but that's what I meant.
Yeah, okay. Got it. Okay, fine. The second question is a bookkeeping one. Subbu, on the tax treatment on these exceptionals which were reported for this quarter, how should we consider that?
We have, obviously, since it's the provision at this point in time, we are not assuming a tax reduction. Okay? So, therefore, the effective tax rate is slightly higher.
Okay, and on the 18 crores and 15 crores?
18 crores comes back. Okay, that is just a timing issue. The FIFO 18 crores comes back. The 15 crores is that we will get it because it's a business expense. No problem.
That inventory has been sold and the money has been realized.
Yeah.
That's how
I'm talking about the tax treatment.
But there's a tax treatment, therefore, there's no difference for the 18 and the 15. Okay, there's no problem there. It's like a normal business.
Understood.
Expense.
Yeah. Got that. Perfect. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amit Sachdeva from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for taking my question. So, actually, many of them have been answered. But, Venkat, if you could just comment on studded sales this quarter. Basically, I see it has come down to 35. But I also recollect that in Q4, you had actually increased the discount, eligible percentage to lower, like from 150,000. And this quarter, I noticed that it has been expanded to actually 3 lakh and above. So, I think the intent was to push the higher value studded jewelry on higher discounting, and actually discount was lowered for lower value, or at least kept the same at the lower end. How that dynamic has played out in this quarter, and going forward, which strategy you are more comfortable with, selling the lower SKU more or the higher SKU more? How the discounting, and what lessons have we learned from this?
It's a continuous improvement kind of thing, Amit. What also happened in Q2 was, as the gold rate surged, there was a clear preference from consumer side, even during an activation, for gold jewelry. And that's something it's very difficult to contend with when the demand is pulling people towards, gold. And my own sense is that we may need to do like maybe a little bit of a tweak at best on the tactic that we followed on the discount design for Q2. Because there was a feeling that we would have lost some sale in the low end because of the compression on the discount, but we also saved money on the cost, and therefore the overall return on ROI was deemed to be worth having done that. So my sense is we will more or less copy paste that into Q4.
Sure. And in that context, I also see the Q4, again, margin base is high. So given that A&P spend was higher this time, and how we should think about Q4 as a studded margin quarter, because I see that margin is, again, very, very high on the base in Q4. As we think about the full year and the margins, how we should think through that, margin thing in the Q4 side?
You're talking about the EBIT margin?
EBIT margin for jewelry in Q4, because again the dynamic, if you're going to replicate this template and perhaps an A&P spend, I don't know how much was that higher A&P spend has contributed to, if you can give some guidance on that as well. So how we should think about Q4 as a margin, because Q4 again has a very large base.
Honestly, I wouldn't be able to comment on that, except that we are staying on course for our budgets. How to actually execute whatever we need to execute to actually achieve the budgets, we will, assemble in November to conclude and decide. Right now, you can take it that the plan that we had, we are staying with and not sort of, bringing it down for whatever reason. I understand the point that you're raising about the task that is in front of us, yes, but I don't have an approach to share with you at the moment.
Thank you.
Just confirming that we're staying on the plan.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vicky Punjabi from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Hi, this is Richard here. Thanks for taking my question. So I just wanted to discuss, two points. One is, the thing that you mentioned on slide 38, that, that for H1, the division was on plan for EBIT. So if I look at the EBIT growth of jewelry, it's 11% growth if I take both Q1 and Q2 together. Is that in, what you've actually planned for as far as jewelry profitability is concerned for H1?
Sorry.
I was referring to slide 38 of the PPT.
Okay.
Where it is mentioned that so and so and so, and I'm looking at the third last bullet that said that the division grew EBIT.
For H1, the division was on plan for EBIT.
Yeah. Is 11% growth all that you'd plan for EBIT of the jewelry business for H1?
Yeah.
And would H2 also be reflective of that H1 quantum?
No.
Okay. Okay, sure. Second is, I'm just going back to these several media interviews and other interviews, etc., where there have been a lot of, up and down in terms of the growth expectation of the jewelry business, from 20% to 20 to 25, and then again back to 25, and you deliver something much more than, 25 in Q2. What were the circumstances and the variables that you were looking at when you actually, sort of went a little slow in guiding for growth and then again upped it and then you delivered? What were the volatile factors that happened in between, all these while when your growth expectations
have happened? Natural, what? Artificial intelligence and
growth. Sorry,
Richard, which media interviews are you referring to?
Between you and me and Zoom.
Yeah.
See, it is the Indian practice saying only this.
Sorry?
See, Richard, I think when we go on media, etc., it depends on the current circumstances as we see it then, okay? Now, certain things do surprise us, positively as well, and that's possibly what's happened here.
In fact, if I just add, even investors, some of the investors, in the middle of, early August or middle of August, there was a certain view about Q2.
Yeah, yeah.
And what happened in September surprised us also.
Yeah.
So that's the point that Prabhu is making.
Yeah.
Volatility of gold price.
So the 38%
was,
we were not so confident of the 38% middle of early August.
Yes, that's right.
Exactly. So I don't know about any media interview, but certainly our own.
That is a
Okay, got it. And last thing, if I may, so can you just explain to me the reason for this valuation loss? I'm just losing the concept.
This is Richard, this is the FIFO. If you remember, we used to talk about it quite frequently. Whenever we buy gold on spot, right?
Mm-hmm.
While we are hedging it, we still have to value it on FIFO basis. And if gold prices, for example, fall towards the end of the quarter, that impacts the valuation of inventory. Now, typically what happens is there it impacts valuation and therefore the margins for the quarter are lower. But as you are hedged, you get back that money on the sale of this that lot. And therefore it sort of reverses itself in about a quarter's time. And that's exactly what's happened this time also. So they tend to go up and down. It depends on the gold prices going up. In fact, going down rather than going up.
So from a matching principle point of view, that 18 crore actually belongs to the quarter.
Yeah. Yeah.
But will be recovered in the Q3.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Harit Kapoor from IDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good evening. Just two questions. Firstly, on the store addition side, for the first half in the jewelry business, it's been a bit slow at about 14 stores net. Are we still in line, with our 40 store plus kind of a number, and say will second half be much faster in terms of store additions?
Yeah, very much. In fact, the quarter three actual performance already and the visibility is very high. So we are very confident of 40 plus.
Okay, sir. And the second thing, was on the watches side. I mean, in our press release, in our presentation, we've mentioned, filling key product gaps in the watches business has been also one of the key reasons. So if you could just talk about, which are the segments which have done, very well in the first half for us on the watches side, if you could just kind of help with that.
Your Octane.
Yeah, a lot of new collections that we launched in the first half have done very well. Including our flagship
affordable
model, which was H Ceramic, which has done very well. Then we launched many new collections, many new models under our sub brand Octane, which has done very well. We have a collection called Neo, which is for daily workwear, which is very competitively priced, has done very well. So different collections have done differently based on the channel through which those are sold, because the consumer profile is very different from our trade channel to the the World of Titan channel. E-commerce as a channel has done very well for us. So, but new products have done very, very well for us in the first half.
So this has largely been led by new products in terms of the growth.
Yes, absolutely. Across all our brands, both and amongst all our brands, the good news is that Titan, which is our main brand, between Titan Fast Track and Sonata, Titan is the highest growing brand in H1.
Which would also help the margins. Also.
Absolutely, yeah.
That's it for me, thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rakesh Jhunjhunwala from Rare Enterprises. Please go ahead.
Happy Diwali and Happy New Year.
Thank you.
Yeah, my first, how the festival sales, you said for jewelry is up 29% like to like.
Watches?
Total.
Watches, Rakesh, the festival, which is the Dasera to Diwali, is about pretty close to 8%. So it is lower than the running rate, so to say, for first half and even for the entire Q2. The main reason for that is that in this month, leading up to Diwali, last year we had, for 3 or 4 days, we had a flash 30% off. So if you take that away, then it's a good 12% growth over last year.
And as I understand your margin, you said you have 18% margin in the first half. For the full year, you think it should be in 15%. So in the second half, you think it will be 12%.
That's what it amounts to?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, hey, Bhaskar, what's your opinion here on the watch margins?
Yeah, this is something which we explain every time, and just wait for the two quarters to go by. You will see it for yourself.
Oh, I thought you should be very anxious of higher margins here, yeah? Not anxious for lower margins.
Just to give you a data point, Rakesh, I don't know whether you were listening to what I was saying earlier. I won't give you the actual number. The advertising spend of last quarter, the amount that we spent in last quarter, we spent in the month of October. So that will pan out. You know, when you look at Q3, we will see how. And I spoke about two big collections which have got delayed. Plus, we have a lot of smart products lined up. So October is going to be seeing a lot of spends in advertising, which is why the margin would get affected.
But what is your total quantum of ad spend in last quarter? Yeah?
We don't share that, Rakesh.
Oh, yeah. Okay, let's hope you work for a higher margin. Anyway, in this eyewear business, when do we expect to make some money here?
We should start making money next year, Rakesh. We already make money, but this year we've taken a call to invest higher amounts in advertising to really break this price-value equation and bring in more customers on our journey to target 10 million watches, 10 million pieces of customers by 2023.
No, but how many customers do we have today?
Last year we had 2.4 million customers. This year we are targeting to take it up to 3.7 million customers and by 2023 to 10 million customers.
Per annum.
Per annum.
Yeah, but how many customers will you do? Are you 3.7? How many will you do this year?
3.7.
You think we'll do 3.7?
Yeah.
We are on target to do that.
But that means the average bill would have come down much lower, no?
It hasn't
because the customer is going up by 50%.
It is coming down, but it's not come down significantly. And therefore, our gross margins are in fact a little bit higher than they were last year.
No, Donny, but your customers are going from 2.4 to 3.7.
Yes.
Which is going up by more than 50%.
Yes.
If your sales growth is 20%, obviously there is a lot of downgrading.
Yeah, there will be. There will be.
Per customer, yes.
Yeah.
So because of the bill per customer will go down.
Yes.
The gross margins are linked to the selling price, the quantum of the selling price, or they are the same across categories?
So they're linked to the selling price.
So that means on a 5,000 pair, we get 40%, maybe, for example. And on 2,000, we get what, 20%, like that?
Not necessarily. That's what we're trying to
also
say.
Also, Rakesh, the impact of in-house manufacturing of frames also kicks into the gross margin. And an increased number of lens labs that we are putting up also makes in-house manufacturing that is very profitable. So it's a combination. So you do both, you end up, he's holding on to the gross margin percentage because of, despite the, so the prices have not been dropped, Rakesh, it's the price points which have been covered.
Right. So that means this will be the first, before we come with a small sales strategy, it will be, suppose next year our customers go from 3.7 to 5 million.
Yes.
So the sales growth should mirror the increase in number of customers.
Correct.
So yes. Last year, next year there will be no downgrading. Am I right, Doctor?
No, further down trading, yes.
Yeah, so therefore the sales growth should mirror the number of customer growth. Next year at least.
It will catch up. Both of them will catch up.
And we have very big trading on equity.
It's not predictable, Rakesh. I mean, yes, it is expected to, but, you know, the whole opportunity in the eyewear space is, we have discovered, is in the lower price points. The volumes are in the lower price points. So the attractiveness of the product at the lower price point today is very, very good. So the growth at the lower price points is certainly a very big opportunity. But margin dilution does happen. How we can keep this balance between advertising, in-house manufacturing of both lenses and frames is not so easily predictable. But the idea is to keep the gross margin, gross contribution.
And Bhaskar, there will be big trading in, big benefit of what you call that, because we have very high fixed costs. So there should be big operating leverage.
Yes, that is the point.
So that means next year profitability can be good if you get the volume.
Yes,
absolutely.
That's the idea of going to 10 million, Rakesh.
And do you think ultimately either can reflect gross margins or better than that, or once you get volume, there are
signs. I stated that these are similar businesses except that this is only retail and that one is all across all channels. Yeah, it is expected to be similar. I mean, when we started the business itself, we were targeted of 12 to 15% kind of margin, which is where watches was at that time.
And how is sunglasses doing?
Yeah, sunglasses is doing well. It's growing well. As again,
the margins are very good. I have one question for Venkat.
Yes, sir.
Hi. What kind of, congrats on a good performance, what kind of number of stores will be open in the third quarter?
I think about 15 or so.
Right. So we'll go to 282, then we'll open 15 in the last quarter to be on track to go to 300.
Yeah, yeah. So this year 40 plus to Pakka. Like
right. And how well are the new stores doing?
By and large.
But doing well?
All new stores are hitting their targets in the first year by and large.
And they are all franchise stores?
Yeah, 95%, yeah.
And this 15 crores which we are paying is for taking over, it is over and above the book value of the assets that we have bought.
Correct,
yeah. In a way, goodwill and all that kind of.
Goodwill. And that store has grown 50 crores sales. What is the L2 store?
The L2 store is currently delivering about 250 crores of sales.
And well located in Hyderabad, which stores are these?
Panjagutta and Kukatpalya.
Okay, thank you. Congrats on a good performance.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Amit Sinha from Macquarie. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. My first question is on the jewelry business again. Now, what we understand is that you extended your activation period during the quarter. And despite a higher activation period, the studded contribution was lower during the quarter. So just wanted a few explanation there.
See, the sales growth for the quarter in retail was 38%. And the studded growth was 32%. So after 32% growth, which is a very good growth, to beat that 38 plus gold was obviously difficult in the share fact. That's the situation. But that's on retail. The problem is on the primary, the base, you know, angle comes in and all that. But the share part is equally valid for the primary as well. So we're quite satisfied with the studded growth, even as the studded share fell.
Okay. Structurally, I mean, so in these kind of growth, if these kind of growth comes on a regular basis, do you think structurally the studded part will come down and down over the period?
I'll just give you a 2007 to 2012 perspective here. We were supposed to dramatically increase the studded share and through that increase the EBIT margin by some 400 bips. We ended up actually not increasing the studded share at all, but still expanded the EBIT by 400 bips. That's because the scale changed. So therefore, if gold does exceedingly well and studded does its target but falls in share, we will still get all the scale economies which come with that. So EBIT will still be delivered even though the studded share falls. So the studded share is not an end in itself. The studded sales growth is an end in itself.
Sure, sir. And secondly, what we have also noticed during the quarter that, you know, there has been a change in the, you know, the overall activation strategy itself. Would you like to comment on that? Because for a large part of second quarter and even in the third quarter, we have seen extended activation period. So just wanted some commentary there.
In quarter two, we needed to sort of extend the activation to take a better shot at the sales target that we had, which is why we extended it. Because the pull of the lure of the gold segment was very, very high, and we needed to offer consumers a more attractive studded product, and that's why we extended it for, I think, 10 or 12 days. So that's, it's a tactical thing that would be determined, you know, at each point in time depending on the situation.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vishal Gutka from Philip Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. I have only two questions. First question is on what is the amount lying with us under Golden Harvest scheme? And second question is what contribution of sales have come from Gold Exchange program during the quarter?
Gold Exchange program runs about the same, about 40%, as we have said. On Golden Harvest, we had close to about 100 crores now. Yeah.
100 crores?
1200 crores.
Okay, fine. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Avnish Agarwal from Prabhudas Lilladher. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Most of my questions have been answered. Just one question. We have
Can you speak a little louder, please? We can't hear you.
Yeah. So you have disclosed an exposure of 145 crores to ILFS.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sir, my question is that do we have exposure of any sort in any other NBFC, the housing finance company?
No, we do not. We have still some ICDs, but that all of them we consider to be extremely safe. Some of them that we did have post the ILFS thing, we withdrew. So we believe that everything that we have today, we have no other further exposure other than the ILFS one.
Okay, sir. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhishek Ranganathan from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. So my first question is on wedding. So could you help us understand what was the ballpark share of wedding in the first half? And secondly, allied to this wedding again, any impact of the liquidity crisis which we saw in the end of second quarter on purchases of high ticket such as wedding or high value studded?
On the first one, I'll revert to you later. It is not top of mind for me. On the second one, not really.
And sure. And the other one I have is on competition and price value proposition in jewelry, like something which the point was made on eyewear. What's your internal assessment of the price value proposition which you have across your categories in wedding, and how does it rank up versus competition?
Our sense, Abhishek, is that the sales performance of a lot of the rest of the industry has been quite muted, and I'm sure they're under significant pressure on profits as a result. And we have been seeing, you know, the price premiums that Tanishq has coming down and down. In many markets, the making charges are now pretty close to the people who we consider as competitors. And therefore, the price value equation has actually improved in our favor. That's our sense, including wedding. Because in wedding, we also have what is called this bundling offer, where for different slabs of grammage, we give reducing or increasing discount on making charges. So if you take it with that, our price position is pretty good, I would say.
One last question for Subbu here is, can you just call out on what the reason is for increase in other current assets and loans and advances on the balance sheet?
Increase in other current assets?
Yeah.
One is, of course, the GST receivable. Last year, you would not have had much of that because, you know, we have two things. One is the input tax credit, and the second is our excise-free zone, the tax-free zones in North. So we have claims on the government on that as well. So that's the big chunk, which is the increase in the loans and advances. What was the other one? Current?
Other current assets and, yeah, sure. The other current assets.
Other current assets would be ICDs also. Yeah, they are also there. Their loans, they come to the loans and advances. Yeah.
So that's all from my side. Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Rakesh Jhunjhunwala from Rare Enterprises. Please go ahead.
You said what was the sale of Golden Harvest 1200 crores in the quarter? Hello?
No. I think what I gave was the balance of the golden harvest. It was 1200 crores. Yeah.
Cash. Life is only 9 months?
No. This is the balance as of September 8th. Yeah.
Yeah, but for how many? It gets over in how much time?
11 months.
It's a 12-month market. 12-month thing. Yeah.
And what is the cash and cash equivalent you have now?
Now, of course, I mean, at the close of the year, it was 1100 crores. Okay. It's obviously substantially more now because of the season. We have, the inventories have gone and we've got cash.
But how do you send the balance sheet? You show it under cash and bank balances, other bank balances, and other current assets.
Yeah, what happens is that we have them under three categories. Okay, the bank balances and FDs will come in. Then you will have the ICDs and the loans and advances. And then you have mutual funds and the investments. So they will be in different categories. So when we say cash and cash equivalents, we are clubbing all this from our perspective, from an investment perspective. Yeah.
So at the moment you have?
It's substantially over 1100 now, thanks to the season, yes.
But you're supposed to reveal the balance sheet. The figure is not a secret, no?
No. Balance sheet I've given you, no?
No, but the balance sheet, how much is the cash and cash equivalent?
Total cash equivalent, I told you, is about 1100 crores.
Now, at the moment. And you know, what is this increase in other expenses? From 271 crores to 436 crores in the consolidated accounts?
No, other expenses includes all these things. One is the ILFS provision. It includes this 15 crores. And then the other thing is that this year we have to change the accounting as far as the L2 commission is concerned.
Yeah, but even there, last year you changed it. Last year after changing it was 271. In this 436, if we take out 44, which is 20 and 15, it's still 392. So it's an increase of 120 crores.
Management commission this year. That's what I'm saying. Management commission change.
Like to like, no?
Huh? No, we used to have it.
I know we used to. For 274 is like to like?
No.
Yes.
So last year it was 271 inclusive of L2 commission.
No, reclassified.
Pardon?
I don't think we regroup.
Okay.
Yeah. Rakesh, we'll get back to you.
So 271 to 436, 271 includes L2 commission last year.
Yeah, there's the increase in L2 commission, which is 17 crores, okay?
No, but this is 436, if I take out 29, which is ILFS,
yeah.
And 15 crores, which is the franchise payment, so that's 44 crores. Still, it is 292 crores. It is 392 crores. It's gone from 271 to 392.
I think ILFS is this. That's why I said, yeah.
No, but you know, we'll
get back to you on this. Yeah, we'll get back to you.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Vivek Maheshwari from CLSA. Please go ahead.
So, jewelry, one more question. In the base quarter, there was this 250 crore impact, right? If you adjust that, the growth comes to more like 18% in this quarter. Whereas retail sale, I don't know if that 250 crore adjustment is required over there also, but if we don't, then the growth is 38%. So, what is the delta, this 20 percentage point delta, why is it and what is it on account of then?
That 250 will apply to retail also, no, Vivek? Because customers bought in the last week of June of 2017 because of GST. Because of it.
Okay, so this is end customer.
End customer also would have behaved. I mean, end customer behaved like that. That's why everything is like that. So the difference, like the let me just give you the actual figure. The retail sale in Q2 FY18 was 2,700 crores. And the primary sale was 3,100 crores. There was a 400 crore difference. That's because the Diwali season was earlier last year. Now, the 2,700, we have grown 38% to 3,700. But then that, the primary base for that is 400 more. And therefore the primary, and this year, they don't need to buy in September, they need to buy in October because the season is a little later. So both the denominator is higher and the numerator is lower. It is like that. Therefore the difference between the growth in primary and growth in secondary.
Got it. And on the industry, Venkat, what is your sense? In the first quarter, you indicated around 10 to 25% decline in industry. The declining trend continues in your assessment? I know these are hard to get numbers, but what is your sense about it?
It was supposed to be, our sense is about, between 5 and 15% growth
in Q2?
For the industry as a whole.
Yeah, for many of the jewelers that we get information on the ground.
So broadly, first half will be almost like flattish.
Between our growth and their growth, yes.
Okay, and first half basically is more like flattish.
No, maybe mid-single.
For them.
Whereas we are about 16 or 80, we are 80 in retail.
Thank you. We will take the last question from the line of Pulkit Singhal from Motilal Oswal Securities Limited. Please go ahead.
Thank you. This is Pulkit from the asset management team. Sir, congrats on decent set of numbers. Just on the gold exchange program, the 40% figure seems fairly high. Just wanted to understand what are the drivers for this, and has this particularly increased post demon?
So gold exchange for the last 1.5 years plus, actually it started with July 2016 when the first exchange program was run as a promotion. It was an offer which was sweetened significantly. And then post November, of course, the demon, we ran it again in November, a huge success. And after that, I think we're using it also like as a customer acquisition program. And therefore, what used to be in the ballpark of 20% 2 years back, two and a half years back, has now grown to about 40%. When I say gold exchange, it also includes the exchange from Tanishq, our own customers. So it's a combination of both.
So it's some 30 plus 10.
30 plus 10.
Yeah. 30 of other jewelers,
yeah.
10 of Tanishq.
So this would be a reflection of the reduced amount of cash in hand with the consumers, right?
Sorry?
Post-demon, I mean the sources of the cash income and the reduced amount of cash in the hands of a consumer.
I don't know about that. See, finally there is some 25,000 tons of stock with consumers. And they may be exchanging some 300 tons of that every year. We are just starting to participate more and more in that 300 tons.
Got it. And in terms of the premium that you command of price premium for Tanishq, I just wanted to understand how much is it versus your competitors now, and is this a conscious decision by the management to bring it down so as to get more volume?
We have not brought it down recently. They have had to up their prices and through that reduce the price premium that we have. We have not brought premium down.
Thank you. The next is a follow-up question from the line of Rakesh Jhunjhunwala from Rare Enterprises. Please go ahead.
Venkat, I didn't understand. When you said this 2,731,000,
yeah.
2,700 crores was a reported sale last year in this quarter. Right?
2,700 was the retail sale Q2 FY18.
Yeah.
3,100 was the primary sales Q2 FY18.
Right.
So the base of primary sale was much higher in Q2 than the retail sale.
Last year,
and because the season is also shifting, the 38% growth in retail in Q2 FY19 did not translate to similar kind of growth rate in primary in Q2
FY19. So I don't understand. What are you saying? Sorry, it's my lack of understanding. I understood that in the second quarter last year, 3,100 crores was a retail sale.
No, 2,700 was retail sales.
Right.
But because the Diwali was on the 18th of October in 2017,
right.
L3 channel would buy ahead of the season and bought in the second fortnight of September. So
right.
They bought 400 crores more than what they sold in September. Q2, but they bought it in September, and therefore our company sales was at that base. Now this year the retail growth was 38% over that 2,700, but it did not consequently reflect in a primary growth of that order because they would end up buying in October.
No, but last year reported sale was 2,700 crores.
Sorry?
No, not 3,100 crores. Your reported sales in the second quarter last year.
No, that is NSV. That coincidentally, that is the income that you are talking about.
Yeah, but the income reported was 2,700.
I am talking about the MRP figure. You're talking about the company income which is coinciding in this example.
Okay, I'll take it online and not the
problem. Yeah. I'll explain. I understood what you're pointing to.
Hmm.
And I also, so I'll tell you offline.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. That was the last question in queue. I now hand the conference over to the management for their closing comments.
Thank you all. As I said, it's been a good quarter. We've had a few, provisions, and we are looking forward to a very good quarter, Q3. For us, retail sales is the king of everything, and we expect good retail sales. We've had a good Dhanteras and Diwali, and we should end the quarter and the year very well. Thank you very much for your patience.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Titan Company Limited, that concludes this conference call for today. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.